Welcome in to this edition of Shut Up and Eat with Joe Riccio here on Downtown. And Joe, we were wondering if you could talk a little bit about the options one has for both traveling and eating well when abroad.
Absolutely. Well, when you're eating abroad, I find it's good to usually avoid the places that seem to have the longest lines filled with Americans. You know, you wanna try to kind of, you know, go someplace in the morning, you know, a local kind of hangout, and just kind of be cool and, you know, chat somebody up. And you kind of just got to build on it. You get like one recommendation at a time, you know, don't ask for like a full like tour of the city, but, you know, just get to one place and you go to that place and see if you can kind of, you know, figure out talking to somebody from there, how to get someplace else. And I think that's the easiest way to navigate if you're in a completely foreign place, you know?
Yep. You know, I know you were in Florence not long ago, and one of the things I love about that city is that it has such an incredible central market. Nothing I've ever seen in the U.S. Mm-hmm. gets there. And sometimes your options for eating in a foreign city might be renting an apartment for a limited stay and doing some of your own cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I personally like to do kind of half and half. You do like 3 nights in like a luxury hotel where you don't have to do anything but to eat. You know, and then switch it over to the apartment and, you know, really get into it. Another way to immerse yourself, you know, just like be curious about the things in the market, you know, wing it, you know, just buy a bunch of stuff and bring it back and see what you can put together with it. You know, it's always going to be more cost effective. And that's just, you know, that's how you can really say you actually experience the place, you know, like when you bought food and cooked it there.
Yeah, my wife, my wife and I have done that in a couple of different cities. And one of the other things I found is that when you're walking around in the morning, you're on your way to the sites, you're going to see things that it really is worth it to just stop at every restaurant and look at the menu.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there are certain, you know, when you're in certain places, there are red flags, things that might seem kind of, you know, touristy. But I think I find that sometimes the most, like, nondescript places, you know, seem to be the best, you know, they're just like not a lot of signage, you know, menu's got like 3 things on it,
right?
You know, like that, chances are they probably do those 3 things pretty well, you know, so it's worth going in. I when I was in Orvieto, which is kind of between Florence and Rome, that's what I just talked to some woman that was trying to find an ATM, and this woman at the bank sent me to this little cafe, and I had to literally walk by it 4 times. Before I walked in, I found it, and it was busy, and everybody was eating carbonara in there. So I was like, I'll try the carbonara.
Right.
I've never had in my life. It was just insanity how good it was.
Yeah, one of the best meals I ever had in my life was in Ajaccio in Corsica, and it happened the same way. My sister-in-law had been there like a year before or something, and I said, how did you find it? And she said, I don't know, we were just talking to these people, and my sister-in-law is absolutely fluent in French. And she said, you know, if you ever eaten real Corsican food, you ought to go there. And I forget that, the corner or something. And I found that to be another really good way. If you ask, if you were in this city and you were going to eat only one thing, what did they do best?
Yeah, and that's a great place to start, you know, and because usually it's the kind of thing where every person who lives there has a different opinion about. So you're going to find a lot of different places that way, because each person is going to be really impassioned about, you know, what it is, where it is they want to send you. I think the easiest thing is just kind of just be cool.
You know?
Like, don't force your agenda on people. Like, go with like half an itinerary, you know, like, yeah, there's a couple things you want to see, but leave things open. Like,
right.
Just wander around.
Yeah. One of the other things I think is interesting about when you do shop for yourself is that you make all those different shops. Europe is, and especially is not a, you don't walk into the Hannaford and buy everything. And, you know,
right.
you go to one guy for the meat, another guy for the vegetables, another person for the cheese, another place for the wine. What I found really interesting is going to a wine store and saying, this is what I bought for dinner. What would you recommend I drink with this? And I found a couple of great wine shops in Florence that way, where they would just say, I could sell you this, but this is just as good. It costs half as much. Try this.
Yep. Just put your faith in, you know, just show faith. It's like, you know, don't have to act like you know everything. You know, and you go, like you said, yeah, you go to each person in the market, and rather than a big supermarket, you go to a guy who knows the vegetables in the area. You're talking to a guy who knows the meat from the area. You're talking to a person, you know, knows the cheese. And then you go to somebody who knows the wine. All those things tend to go together, you know? Things in the same ecosystem tend to pair up well together. So, like, why wouldn't you? You know, I gotta, just relax, you know?
Absolutely. Now, you could apply the same logic, I suppose, to going to Chicago or L.A. or someplace. If you didn't really know the city well or have friends there, you could sort of do the same kind of thing?
You could. I mean, what's actually easier because you don't have a lot of times the language barrier or even any cultural barriers. So, you know, you go to places, I mean, Chicago especially, because there's certain places that, you know, stand out and it's, you could read like Zagat or whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, the best thing to do is just, you know, pick one place that you really want to try and go to the bar and just, you know, be into it. Like, order a whole bunch of stuff and just start chatting up the bartender. And just, you know, one or two things at a time. Just be like, you know, where do you hang out? Like, what, you know, where do I go? What's a place that's just like, you know, not going to be overrun with tourists? And usually they can have at least, like, whatever their first recommendation is usually going to be good. And then you just build on it, you know, and you go to that place. And you talk to somebody when you're there. And they're always, you know, as long as you're enthusiastic about what they're doing at their restaurant, they're usually pretty happy to talk to you about someplace else, you know, to go next.
I find
it's, I mean, it's it, that saved me when I was in Nantucket, because I was like, I don't know, I found one place and I'm like, there's so many touristy places here.
Mm.
And I just started chatting people up. I ended up in just some of the coolest restaurants with, like, where all the restaurant people hang out, and the food was delicious and I ate really, really well.
Yeah, there's a little place down the Lower East Side of New York called Bistro Mes Amis that I really like. And the first time I went there, I was with a group of people and the waitress came out and looked at everybody and said, why don't I just figure out what you guys want to eat and start bringing it to you? And we were adventurous. It was one of the greatest meals I ever had in my life. And they just kept saying, you want to try this? Yeah, I mean, really, seriously, whenever I've been offered that option, I've taken it. Do you find that's a good plan?
Yeah, if somebody's in, like, you know, if it's not somebody just trying to take your money and sell you the most expensive thing on the menu, if somebody's literally, you know, genuinely enthusiastic about the menu and wants to show you around, like, let them do it. I mean, maybe if you were dead, if you were, you know, had your heart set on something, make sure you're like, yeah, I just want to make sure I get this. But other than that, send whatever you want. And that way, you know, you don't have to miss what maybe you were there to do, but you're going to discover stuff you didn't know was there.
Joe, this is Kerry here. One of the things I've found when I'm traveling is just don't be scared of the place that looks a little divey.
Yeah,
you know, is that something that you in your travels have found too? Is, you know, the out of the way places, the places that maybe look like they've been there for a long time, are where you're going to end up finding some of the best meals?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wary of places that are so spotless and clean and, like, you know, sterile. I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like this place needs to have a little character built on it, you know? And like I said, I think it goes back to the very first part is, you know, is it busy? Like, are other people, is there like a big line to this, like a little place, like, and why? And it's probably worth waiting in the line just to find out, you know, unless you're in like Times Square or something like that. But, I mean, yeah, definitely. I am never afraid of, I really don't care what they got for a health rating, to be honest. I'll eat there. The food's good. I don't really care.
Well, that's great, Joe. And we thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you again next week when Rich is back. And as you say, let's be adventurous and go out and eat.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, have a great weekend.
You too now. Thanks a lot. That was Joe Riccio on Shut Up and Eat here on Downtown.